What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Good Sunday morning to you. It is 10:08. We're live at the Minnesota State Fair. Dave Schwartz, Pete Najarian, Charlie Weiss, Josh Wheeler's in here too. A cast of thousands. Good morning to you all. Good morning. Hey, thank
love
you
seeing
very much.
Everybody. This is a great little crowd here. I love it.
It is time for the huddle. It is. This is going to be the hottest day of the fair.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be 100. I think they heard 115. Maybe. Pete just realized, for those of you in the house, Pete just realized I strategically picked this chair because I have the open window. It's air conditioned in here. And I'm nice to Cody. He says, I'm just roasted in here sweating.
It's awesome, though. This fair has been fantastic. Yeah. This is my sixth trip out here already.
Already?
And absolutely love it every single year. Usually I'd get about 8 or 10. But so I'm really behind. I still have tomorrow. I still got tomorrow.
You're coming back tomorrow, too?
Maybe day 7.
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see.
So you did a number of concerts, including, we talked about it last week, the Boys to Men concert.
Yeah.
How was it?
You know, we were talking about maybe going.
I would love, yeah.
Both of us, right?
Yes.
My wife surprised me. I had no idea she bought tickets to that. And Boys to Men was fantastic. It was also Chaka Khan was part of it as well.
What a good concert.
But let me tell you why it might have been my best concert. Now, I'm a country music guy, but I like everything. I'll do R&B. I'll do rock. Whatever it is, I'll go. I love it. I love live music.
Yeah.
Live music is always good music. But I'll tell you, these guys were amazing what they were able to do. So I've never seen a band that's relatively famous, and they are. 32 years they've been together. And so they've
that makes me feel old. I remember when they came out.
So they put together a lot of music in these 32 years, right? Well, they took about a half hour in the middle of their show where they started doing covers of everybody that you could possibly imagine. I think the best one for me was one of the guys got up there. He taught himself how to play guitar 10 years ago, and he played Eric Clapton. And it was absolutely stunning how much it sounded like him. The style on the guitar, how he sang it, and everything else. And they must have done, they did a couple Journey songs. They did a few other ones. It was absolutely magical.
That's cool.
And when you look at these guys, we were lucky. We were like row two.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, they are the most humble, greatest, nicest guys you could ever come across. There's only three of them. There used to be four long ago.
Oh.
There's been guys in and out of the band, but
Boys to Men
three,
became, the men became a grandpa, and he was done.
Yeah, but it was great.
That's really awesome.
It was sold out, and it was phenomenal.
What's the best concert you've ever seen here at the Minnesota State Fair?
Toby Keith two or three years ago was unreal. Keith. I'm a huge Toby Keith fan. Yeah. He was absolutely amazing. He's got great music. And unfortunately, he's been battling with stomach cancer for the last year and a half. But Toby Keith was awesome. He had that crowd going. And if you're a flag-waving type person, that is the place
That's
to be.
That's your concert.
Because he is that guy.
I'll tell you, I was really jealous this weekend. Speaking of concerts, I did not go to see Pearl Jam.
I know.
Two shows, and I love Pearl Jam, and I'm kicking myself for not going. But I was there on Friday because I work over at the Xcel Energy Center. And there's two lines, right? One line is all the way down the one sidewalk across, and that's just for general admission.
Right.
And this is it. I get to work at 8:30 in the morning. There are people already there. There's another line forming that goes down the length of the Xcel Energy Center around the block. That is just for T-shirts and merchandise because Pearl Jam does special shirts for every stop.
That's pretty cool.
And it got me wondering, is there anything in the world that I would stand in line for that, and then you know it, whether it's not free at the end, you still have to pay money, but standing around, like, what in, is there anything to me? I only said one thing, but it would have to be free. It'd have to be like I'd have to have a free dinner at Manny's waiting for me, and I'm talking like I want the steak, I want the cheddar hash browns, a lobster tail. I would wait a really long time for that. Shocker, I would wait for food. I don't know that there's anything else I would wait for. And so I'm wondering, like, What would you wait for? Is there anything that you would wait in line for that long to go to?
Is that going
to
come on the text and talk?
That's
line?
The question of the day. Do you
I like
beat
it.
Me to it?
I like it. I will say this. I am a football freak.
Yeah.
And I grew up a football freak when I was a young boy growing up in San Francisco, then moved to Minnesota. We became monstrous Viking fans. So I can already say that I've done that because
yes.
we waited in line at Pasadena in the Rose Bowl when the Vikings played the Raiders.
Okay.
And unfortunately, that was another one of losses in a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
But it was worth every second. You're in the Rose Bowl, first mm-hmm. of all, which is this, you know, iconic stadium, let's
yeah.
be honest.
Yeah.
It might be old, it might be a lot of things, but it is unbelievably beautiful on a perfect day. And we just couldn't beat the Raiders. But, you know, that Raiders team was unbelievable.
Yeah.
When you think about how many guys on that team are in the Hall of Fame, how many guys on the Vikings team mm-hmm. are in the Hall of Fame. So that was worthwhile wait.
It was worth
that
it.
That was worthwhile. We already had our tickets, but we were just waiting in line to get in.
So, and then they lost on
right,
you.
Yeah, they lost on us.
Anything you would wait in line for to go see? If you want to chat with us today, if you're in-house here, just raise your hand. We'll come get you. If you are at home listening and you want to hit us up on the City's One Plumbing Talk and text line, it's 651-461-9226. What would you wait in line to see? I'd probably say if it was a sports event, I would probably, knowing what we know, obviously, but I'd go back and wait in line for the 1980 U.S. Men's Olympic hockey.
Oh, yeah.
The game against
yep,
Russia.
Yep.
Because
yep.
I was at the first rematch since then for a medal, for a playoff round mm-hmm. in Sochi in 2014. And there was a long line, and it was an unbelievably awesome game. That was the one they went to, like, multiple shootouts back and forth.
How great.
I would have waited in line for that. It was
yep.
great.
Yeah, for sure.
So tell us what you'll wait in line for. Love to hear it. I'll tell you what I also would have waited in line for, that Gopher game. I know we're going to run out of time in the first segment, so we'll talk a little bit about it in the next segment, Pete, but just initially in line for that Gopher game. I know we're going to run out of time in the first segment, so we'll talk a little bit about it in the next segment, Pete, but just initially, what were your thoughts of the team, how they looked, and a really a nice win, even though it's a close one over Nebraska?
Yeah, I think in general we were the team played generally well, but there was a lot of parts where you have to be a little bit more critical on yeah. what we looked like. We weren't able to run the football. That's kind of shocking, quite honestly. We have this – oh, my goodness.
Got a pronto pup.
Well, my wife just gave me a foot-long pronto pup, so, yep.
That's, she's just trying to
get starting
me,
now.
She's trying to give me more talking time. I appreciate it. Thank you. He'll be munching. He'll be eating that for another this at least is, another segment.
No, it'll be gone fast, man. But overall, I would say we don't know what Nebraska really is.
Yeah.
So we can't really have a great assessment of the game. It was obviously a close game, and it took everything we had to get that win.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot of things we could pick at when we talk about this one a little bit more.
We'll break it down. I liked it. I thought it was I'll say this. Entertainment value is a phenomenal game.
The sellout gold out was awesome.
I watched the entire thing start to finish with the family, and it was great. I think the star of the show was the defense.
Yep.
Not a shock. You've been talking about how good the defense
is. Tyler
has been
Newman.
The whole time. He was great. Key interceptions, great plays.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll talk about Ethan Calliak-Manis because I thought he was really good. And I know not everybody agreed with me, but that's okay. I loved him. I thought I loved the way he played. So
is he the second coming of Pat Mahomes?
I got so much heat on Thursday night because I had said Ethan Calliak-Manis, and I'll stand with this, Ethan Calliak-Manis has a little Patrick Mahomes to his game. Now, is he Patrick Mahomes? No. Do you want to throw something at me for saying that? Probably. But his ability to get out of the pocket,
yep.
his ability to extend plays with his presence, he's got a quick release.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little sidearm.
Yep, like Pat.
Yeah. But more than anything, he just physically looks the part.
He oozes confidence.
He does ooze confidence.
Yep.
And I thought we're going to run out of time in the first block here, but I did think that that's something immediately from the jump that I noticed.
Yep.
This kid was not afraid to be there.
Right.
He was ready for it, as we thought he would. He had all the swagger that we thought he was going to have, and he made good on it. So we'll talk more about the Gophers coming up next. This is The Huddle, live from the Minnesota State Fair. Yes, thank you. That's where you applaud. We appreciate you. There's one applause. Shameless, yes, please, the applause. We'll be right back. Ooh, this is groovy. I like it.
I kind of
It's
do
not
too.
Charlie? No, I like it anyway. Whoever
does
did
it sound like? It sounds like Santana or something, maybe. I don't know.
Huh? It's
maybe.
Not Santana.
I know it's not.
I don't know.
My wife would know.
I like it, though. Welcome back to The Huddle. We're at the Minnesota State Fair. Great group with us today. Thank you all for being out here. We're going to go right to the Cities One Plumbing Talk and Text Line because we got some calls, so let's take them. Ed, you're up first on the Cities One Plumbing Talk and Text Line. Good morning.
Good morning. Just thought I'd respond to your deal there.
Yes,
we stood in line for 24 hours, four of us, to get free tickets to the Dean Martin roast in Las Vegas.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Worth it.
Who was at the roast?
Oh, Buddy Hackett. You yeah. name them. Every funny guy.
I would do that.
It's one of my favorite shows ever.
That's a good call.
Oh, that's going back.
That's
Those
a good
were
call.
So great. And Dean Martin was so fun
yeah.
to watch.
Some of the best comedians.
Yep.
Boy. All right. Thanks, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.
We're going to keep it going. Austin's on the line. Hey, Austin.
This is actually Donna in St. Peter.
This is Donna. All right. I'm sorry I called you Austin. Donna,
oh,
go ahead.
It's Donna from St. Peter.
Donna from St. Peter.
Oh, I know Donna.
Hi, Donna.
I'm calling to say that I would definitely bid on Be the Match next year for the experience I had Thursday night hosted by Pete and Lisa.
Oh, tell us about it.
Oh, that was nice of you.
What made it so great?
Well, let me put it this way. I don't put myself out on my Facebook page a lot, my personal picture. And I've been through a lot in the last couple of years, and my best friend that was with me is battling stage 4 breast cancer. And the comments on my Facebook page is, Donna, you're smiling. I just felt so blessed. I was probably annoying as hell because I was laughing and talking and crying because it was just amazing. Lisa and Peter couldn't have been any more gracious. It was just, it was a gift. And it was a fabulous game. And I would bid on a package again next year. So
awesome.
Thank you, Pete. Donna, thank you, Lisa.
Good job, Pete and Lisa. I am not surprised to hear that.
Her generosity was awesome, first of all.
That's
I mean,
great.
She donated a lot of money, and that was awesome. But outside of that, we had so much fun with these guys. They had it all planned out. We had a University of Minnesota tailgate, all sorts of food, all sorts of drinks, all the wonderful things. These four were as nice of people as you could ever come across. And the only thing, I was pushing them, and I felt bad that I was pushing them, but I kept saying, hey, guys, we got to get over to the field. I said, until you stand on a football field, and you've done it a million times, but when you stand on a football field, in college or pro football, and you get to stand right next to the athletes themselves, right? And the coaches and everything, but it's the athletes.
Yeah.
And you see them up close, and you realize when they take the helmet off, they look 14. But when they got their helmet on, they are the biggest, most intimidating people that you could ever imagine. And you're shocked by the size and the strength and what shape these guys are in. And we finally got over there. We got on the field. And it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
We were on the Nebraska side. My wife and I walked in with the quarterback's family from Nebraska, actually. And it was so much fun talking to them. So we were communicating with them. And then, you know, Donna and the whole crew, we had so much fun on the field.
Awesome.
The cheerleaders were right next to us. And the football team was doing everything that they do before the pregame. And the coaches and everybody was walking right past us. So they got a chance to see everybody. Yeah. And it was great.
That's
it was
awesome.
Great. Yeah,
and you know what? I'll give you guys the credit. That's awesome that you did that because not everybody, when you get into those experiences, is really engaged in making it such a great experience. So good for you guys for doing that. And thanks to Donna for sharing your thoughts with us on the Cities One Plumbing.
And I hope Donna likes her shoes. She and my wife switched shoes for the game during the game. My wife had a pair of Gopher shoes. They're striped maroon and gold.
Yeah.
And so she gave them to Donna because Donna loved them so much, and they flipped out, and she got her flip-flops. So,
oh, that's funny.
Donna's got a memory for that.
Did you get your shoes back, or did you give them to her? You gave them to her.
Oh, yeah.
You literally gave her the shoes off your feet.
Yeah.
That's the kind of people you are. I love it. And you got hers. That's awesome. Well, let's talk about the game a little bit,
yeah.
Pete. I'm already getting people yelling at me at the cities when I'm plumbing talk and text line. Schwartz, what Gophers game did you watch? Exciting? Bro, the score was 0-0 in the first and 3-0 half. Gophers didn't score until the third quarter. Stop being such a fanboy. So I'm accused of being both a fanboy at times and also being too harsh and critical.
Right.
So here's... I say it was an exciting game because I was very, very keenly into watching what Eighth and Callie Akemanis did. And
yeah.
And early on, they have fourth and two, and I think it was the first quarter. They were just outside the end zone. I mean, it was inside the 10, had to be. And I'm yelling at the television because they're gonna kick the field goal. Got to take the points. And I hate that. Go for it. Let this kid be have that moment. He's already got the confidence. He needs 2 yards.
Yep.
Frankly, you could drop him back, and then he could go forward and get it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you go for the points, that's fine. I thought it was an exciting game because, one, the defense was incredible. The defense was great. Time and again, they came up, and they made huge plays. I thought Callie Akemanis played a really good game. First of all, let's not forget here, they basically redid the entire offensive strategy
right.
from last year to now.
Well, and to your point, Ethan threw the ball 44 times.
44 times.
That is not a P.J. Fleck style offense.
Tanner Morgan might not have done that in if
two
you
games.
Add up two or three games together.
Exactly.
So they changed the offense to fit it with his skill set.
Yep.
Do they need more of a running game? Absolutely. That's got to be better because they're going to key on him eventually. I get it. But he looked poised, and I know the stat line. The stat line, he only did this, only did that. He looked poised. There was a couple of throws where he looked like he was gone, going to be sacked, rolls out, throws a strike. And he didn't look like the stage was too big for him, and that's what I come away with. He looked like he belonged where he was, and I thought he played really well. It's going to take time for everybody to get together. But those throws to Daniel Jackson at the end of the game, the first one obviously out of bounds, but the second one yes, Daniel Jackson made a great play.
Yep.
Unbelievable. But Ethan put that ball in the window where he had to put it.
Yep.
There was no room for error, and he put it there.
Yeah.
I do not share the thought out there that Ethan was not special. I thought he was very special, and I thought it was a great game.
I think the criticisms that I would have of the Gophers, and I think I can do it. Hey, good to see you.
Hi, Al Schock.
Al Schock, ladies
and gentlemen. Al Schock, the legend. Al Schock. Of course you can come up. Like I'd say no to Al Schock.
You get him a mic or something?
There's a mic right here, Al. Nobody says no to Al Schock if he wants the mic. Hi, Al.
Somebody said no to me a couple of years ago. So.
Who said no to you?
I'm not going to go over
it. Okay, good. We're talking about the mic, right? Good.
Right. So we were talking a little Gopher football, and Dave was talking about his excitement level. Let me tell you, the excitement level of that game inside the stadium was off the charts. Might have been as good as any Gopher game I've ever been to. And I say that because it was the sold-out gold out, right? Everything was gold. I put up a couple pictures on Twitter just to show people. It was the student section did an amazing job, but the whole stadium was gold.
Yeah.
There were pockets of red, but they were just pockets. And I will say, they were as loud as us, even though they might have had 6,000 people out of the 60,000. They were loud, and they did a great job. But I do like what the offense did. The one issue I did have with our team for the night, we gave up 180 yards rushing.
Yeah.
And we're a good defense. We're better than that. We should have been better than that. And I think you could credit that to, well, we were missing a linebacker or two. We had a few issues here and there with guys not knowing. It's the first game. That's going to happen. Guys are going to be in the wrong spot. But I think that that Nebraska team is better than people probably thought they were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to happen. Guys are going to be in the wrong spot. But I think that that Nebraska team is better than people probably thought they were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that our offense looks like it's clicking a little bit. Why not throw the ball a little bit more to Spanford?
Yeah.
He's potentially an All-American tight end. He's only 6'8". He's the kind of guy you'd want to throw the ball to.
Yeah.
So that would be another criticism. The catches by Daniel Jackson and the throws from Ethan were spectacular.
I thought the same thing.
Absolutely. He is a special player.
Yeah.
And we were missing, I think, Ottman Bell. I don't even know if I saw him play.
He didn't play. No, right. I don't think I saw him all night. Yeah. He certainly didn't get a pass.
And I can't say I saw the whole game because I oftentimes am back behind the field goal, you know, the goalpost area. And I talked to so many guys. Every team from every, you know, every era was there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking around and there's guys from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the early 2000s, just 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. The showing up of all those guys, I think, was great. And there was an electricity in the air. So you're right. Even though it was on TV, it was right. Phenomenal. It really was.
Al, what'd you think?
I turned it off after the third quarter.
Oh, jeez,
Al.
I had to get up the next morning. I had to get up Friday morning at 3 o'clock.
Well, that's at least, okay, so it wasn't because you didn't like the game. It's because you had to get up for work.
And I know a couple other people that turned it off with 5 minutes to go.
Nope.
How do you do that?
I felt like something was going to happen.
I understand you. I understand a 3 a.m. wake up. I get that.
Yeah.
I knew something was going to happen. I don't know why. I had the feeling because that they keep taking these clean shots on Ethan Kalikmanis looking in his face. He never looked panicked to me.
Nope.
But you're talking about the defense earlier.
Yep.
Four turnovers.
Yes.
And that one by Wally at the end to strip the ball that started the game-winning drive.
Absolutely. That strip was awesome. And those interceptions, one of them was extraordinary, for sure. Mm. I mean, it was unbelievable. Yeah. The way he attacked the ball, more so than the receiver, to get the ball. You know, everybody always says, well, you know, it's up for grabs. It's really not. It's who's going to be aggressive and get the ball.
Yeah.
Tyler Newman did it.
Yeah.
He was spectacular, I thought.
It might be too early to say that it was a pivotal game, but had they not won the game, where does the season go with Eastern Michigan coming in and you don't know too much about them?
Mm.
And how many times has a MAC team beaten a Big Ten team?
Right.
I know that happened here.
Mm-hmm.
Miami of Ohio or Ohio University beat Glenn Mason's team about 20 years ago. But that coming from behind to win is always a good thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
But in that situation with a season that – I've only been around 30 years, so
only
30 years for Gopher football. So I've seen where they think there's a turnaround game.
Yep.
For example, when they beat Syracuse here and Tyrone Carter was still playing, McKinley Boston says turnaround game, and it didn't turn around.
Right.
The year they beat Ohio State on the road, the first time they had done that since like 1948 or something. There's the turnaround game, and the Rose Bowl was right there. The next week, lose to Indiana.
Right.
Give up 45 points after limiting Ohio State, who was ranked third, to 13 points.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So this is the kind of season you look at the schedule that it's – and I'm sounding like P.J. Fleck here, but it's an opportunity. It really is.
It's an opportunity. Every we're 1-0 in the Nebraska week, and now they got to –
I'm not going that far.
All right, good. Row the boat, Sky Umah. We got to take a break. We're way past here. Take a quick break. It's The Huddle. Dave Schwartz, Pete Najarian, Al Schock, Charlie Weiss. Josh is back there. We got everybody. Great to have you alongside us as well. We'll take a quick break coming back from the Minnesota State Fair.
Let's hit this segment running and gunning. Time for a fast back and forth with Pete and Dave. We're calling Fast Break on The Huddle.
Charlie's here.
Yeah.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi. Am I on? I can't hear me.
I can hear you.
You can hear me?
Okay,
you guys got the headphones. I don't have that.
You got that voice, Charlie. Man. You got that radio voice. My gosh.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Fun to be here. First time.
This is like the first time in 2 years that you and Pete have seen each other.
I've been working with Pete for 2 years. Never met him.
And I asked Pete, I said, is this exactly how you pictured him? And you said no.
I didn't. You know what? I had pictures, but you know, I had the wrong ones.
Was I stronger in your head?
You looked like the Rock in his mind, actually.
That's fine with me. Yeah, I'll go with that. All right, let's start off here. College football, week one, almost done with week one, but we got some games today, actually. Rutgers-Northwestern kicking off, I believe, in about 30 minutes for all the sickos out there that want to watch something.
Just got to watch.
Yeah, something that's barely football. That's kick off in about 30 minutes. A couple upsets, not a ton. Week one, as usual, you know, a lot of cupcake games. But Purdue lost to Fresno State. We had Wyoming with a huge win over Texas Tech last night, double overtime. And, of course, everybody now knows the Colorado-TCU upset. Yes. And we'll see if that's really an upset in the coming weeks. But as of now, we'll call it an upset. What does that do to the conference picture of those teams, the Purdue's? Does this kind of show you that they're kind of out of it for this year? Colorado, they're in it, you know, what was the other one? Texas Tech, I mean.
Right.
Texas
That's, Tech. It's a tough step to make to assess it all in one game, I think. Yeah. But that being said, if you're Purdue, you cannot lose that game, and they did. So that I think, is harmful. Wyoming, and I've done games in Wyoming when I was doing ESPN football. I'll tell you what, that is a great atmosphere. It is extremely high altitude, and if you're not ready there, it's going to be an issue. And they're playing Texas Tech, who loves to throw the football. They've always got quarterbacks. But the coaching at Wyoming over the years, former North Dakota State coach, Nebraska coach, all that stuff, they have a program that you don't want to play. As a matter of fact, I would, if I were the athletic director at Minnesota, I'd go, hey, look, we're not putting Wyoming on the schedule because it's going to look bad later on, I think. But I'll tell you, I think that we are all jumping the gun on this Colorado team. I really do. And the reason I say that is TCU lost the entire team. Quarterback, running back, receiver, best receiver they had, another receiver, other guys on defense, guys on the offensive line, all either to the NFL or graduated. So I don't know why they were rated where they were or why they were a 21-point favorite. It didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Because when you look at 83 new players going to Colorado, a lot of them with experience, 83 new players go to Colorado, I thought they'd be competitive. We don't even know now, even with, you know, Deion's son. We have no idea if this quarterback is great or did he just have a great game against a very bad team right now, TCU.
Well, I'm just glad they won the national championship.
Yeah, it was a biggie.
I mean, that's what happened, right?
I mean,
Colorado's a national champion.
I'm just happy to hear you say that, Pete, as a bona fide Colorado and Deion hater. I'm happy that
I will launch into this later. I have thoughts and feelings.
I mean, Sanders, Shadur, the son, phenomenal, obviously. And but the guy, I mean, the generational talent there.
Got to hold the mic close.
A little closer.
There you go.
I'm new to this.
I'm
new to the holding the mic thing. The real guy there, Travis Hunter, playing both sides of the ball, 100 yards receiving, interception, pass deflections. He's going to be a top five pick before too long. Let's move on here, though, into baseball. We'll get to the Byron Buxton news a little later on, I think. But for now, let's talk about how they're 5-1 against the Texas Rangers this year, who are struggling, mind you.
But they can't beat Cleveland. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah,
they beat them once, but no. The question is, Twins are beating Texas a lot. But Cleveland's also beating the Rays. They're really not losing too many games. It's five games up. We are into September now. Is the collapse coming? Is it coming, or are they going to pull it off? Or, I mean, do they pull it off and it gets close?
So are you asking me a question, or are you trying to convince yourself that the collapse is not coming?
All of the above.
You're all yours. Are Twins fans nervous? Guy in the front row says, yep.
He's got a Twins hat on.
He's got a Twins hat on. It's not coming. I don't think it is. They're going to have a couple games. They always do. They're going to hit, you know, they're going to get out of the slump. They're going to hit three or four home runs, and they'll be back on it. And then they will go to the first round of the postseason and fill in the blank.
You know. They got pitching this year.
They have pitching.
They do.
They have pitching this year.
But you cannot not sweep Cleveland. Cleveland is so bad. It's like they're trying to lose.
They're not Cleveland?
Cleveland.
They're not that bad. They're bad, but they're not. I mean, they're not Kansas City. They're not Oakland.
No, but they're top to bottom, the Twins are such a better team than the Guardians.
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland always has those young guys. Yeah, well, and on paper, too, right? They always have those young, I mean, your Bo Naylors and your those rookie starting pitchers that they always seem to have that have a 2.9 ERA throughout the entire season that you've never heard of. They're not good.
No.
But, I mean,
this should not – I'll put it this way. In the first week of September, this should have been wrapped up by now. I'm not panicking. But this should have been wrapped up. Like I would tell my kids when I ask them to clean the room and they don't. I'm not panicking, but you should have done this by now.
What's wrapped up, though? I mean, what is that?
Oh, and they get the playoffs when they're in. magic numbers confirmed. So
and you think they should have had – I think there's only one team that's confirmed in at this
doesn't
point.
Doesn't matter. The Central's so bad this year.
I think the reality of that whole Twins conversation is this. And every week we've said this since, I think, going back to May. They're a 500 team. That's who they are. There is no streak. They're not on a bad streak ever, and they're not on a great streak ever. They're again, last 10 games, you know what? They're 6-4. I mean, that's who the Twins are. They're either 5-5 or 6-4. We're just barely above 500. That's the team we have. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because we all want more. You know, we want more because we think that there's more there. I don't think there is more there. I think that's who the Twins are. They're a 500 ball club. That means when you get into that first playoff game, it's a good chance that you're probably not going very far.
500 doesn't win it for you.
But does it matter if they get a win?
You want to win. I'm right. with you on that.
All right. Sure, I like that.
We'll move on here into back to you, Pete. It's NFL season. Thursday is the first game. Lions-Chiefs kick off, obviously, a week from today. Right after our show, it's going to be Vikings versus the Bucks in game one. What is it, Baker Mayfield for the Bucks this year?
Yeah.
A week from today, right after our show, it's going to be Vikings versus the Bucks in game one. What is it, Baker Mayfield for the Bucks this year?
Yeah. He's the starter, yep.
It's time.
Hit with this team.
It's AFC champ, NFC champ, Super Bowl champ. Who you got?
Oh, boy.
Wow.
It's time.
He just hit it right there, didn't he?
I got it.
All right. I'm going to say, for me, the AFC champ, I think it'll finally be Buffalo. They've done a lot of things on defense, a lot of things on offense. They've added a lot of players. I think that they, you know, and I just think the world of the quarterback, who, by the way, played at Wyoming for, you know, that was one of the games I did was him as the quarterback. It was really, really a lot of fun to watch him play. And Josh Allen is an amazingly big human being as well. He's not just a quarterback like normal. Which is why he runs the ball so well. Another reason why I think that will be the AFC. NFC, it's tough.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Detroit. You know, everybody's all over Detroit. I like Detroit, but I don't think it's the Detroit Lions. I think when you really get through it, you've got to start looking at maybe, I don't know, is Philadelphia going to be that team again? They sure look good.
Yeah.
And if they get to the Super Bowl and they're playing maybe Buffalo, I think Philadelphia's got them.
Well, I mean, we've seen so much in the preseason. It's really easy to judge what all these teams have. I agree with you on Buffalo. I think Kansas City could challenge, but I think Buffalo. They're young. They got good defense. They can run. They can pass. In the NFC,
San Francisco.
That's what I was gonna say. San Francisco. I don't think.
Even
I don't know.
Bosa?
No Bosa. You got Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I mean, if you got Brock Purdy, you're set.
He's the best thing since Joe Montana. He's better than Joe Montana. I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I'll go with him. Go there.
You gonna do who's gonna win it?
My Super Bowl champion. You know what? The Bills are finally gonna get it.
They're gonna get it.
They're gonna get it. No wide left field goals this time.
Easy to cheer for the Bills.
I know.
They got all of the storylines, other than, you know, if you're a real Stephon Diggs hater, you're real, real deep in that.
There might be a few of them here.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. But I like them. Whatever. On to USA Basketball. I know you guys have been watching the FIBA World Cup very religiously. USA lost today to Lithuania.
What?
Yeah, they did.
It's over.
It's not over. They're still making the quarterfinals. In the round robin. 110-104. And your guy, Anthony Edwards, still the guy. 35 points. Nobody else on the team with more than 14. Absolutely dominated. Tried to claw the team back. Was not able to. What does this successful season, not for the Timberwolves, but for Anthony Edwards, look like this year?
Oh, boy. I mean, I think he'll take another step. I don't really – excuse me. I don't see a lot of weakness in his game either. I mean, it's not like I say, hey, he's got to play defense better because he hustles. It's not like he doesn't drive the lane and get the drops, you know, get it to fall. He could probably help and bring – kind of elevate his team a little more, I guess. That's kind of that's what it looks like. It's elevating his team into consistency. And that was the issue last year, is that the Timberwolves weren't consistent. And making that whole trio of him and Rudy and likely Kat all together again make it work, because it didn't last year. I think that's probably success.
I mean, is there any individual accolades you would say, or is it
he could win the MVP. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got some really tough competition, but
you know, you go right to MVP, you know, third team all NBA, no, all-star.
I want the whole thing.
25
I think he's the real deal.
You have options and you went right to MVP.
Yeah, listen, if you're not, as Ricky Bobby said, if you're not first, you're last. Win the MVP.
Such a great line.
Win the MVP.
I will say, last year we talked about this a lot, though. We said, you know what? Appreciate the fact that we have Anthony Edwards on the Timberwolves. Because let's be honest, I think that guy's as good as anybody in the NBA. Is he MVP? Probably not, because those other players that end up getting that, they deserve it as well, and they put up some unbelievable numbers, but they have people around them. He doesn't. Cat is not helpful to Anthony Edwards. He just isn't, unfortunately. I mean, that experiment has not worked. It's not worked for a long time now. So, you know, at what point do we kind of shift things around a little bit? I don't know. But we've got Rudy. And is there a possibility that we make any kind of a run in the playoffs? I think we could make a run. I don't think we get to the finals. But Anthony Edwards, as Minnesotans, we should appreciate. He's one of the best players in the entire world, not just the NBA, the world. And he's showing everybody it now.
Yeah. Could you imagine what it would be like if he played for the Knicks or the Lakers?
Oh, if he was on the Lakers.
Seen, I mean, you've seen the discourse online this week of it's a matter of time before he leaves.
Well, I mean, if you're him, and I'm not advocating him to leave because there's a lot here and you could – I mean, there's something exciting, I think, for a star player to say, I turned around and made and helped the franchise finally win that has been mired in a lack of success for decades. But if I'm him and I'm looking at L.A. and I'm looking at New York and I'm looking at those dollar signs, whew, you don't even have to win there. You just got to go play well.
And if he goes to the Lakers, it's an old Minnesota team anyway. I'm in the old Minneapolis Lakers, so what the heck?
Yeah, sure. But that's what I got for you guys.
All right, thanks, Charlie.
It's awesome, Charlie.
Take a quick break. Come back. We got some audience participation happening here at the Minnesota State Fair. You're listening to the Hello. Hey, this one works. Welcome back. It's the Huddle at the Minnesota State Fair. Great to have you. We're gonna have some audience participation.
Let's come on up.
You fine young man, sir. He's got an autographed hat. Come on all the way up.
Well, yeah, he's got a chain over there.
By the way, shout out to Gary at Sweet Martha's Cookies. Brought us another bucket of Sweet Martha's this morning.
It's going to kill me.
It's amazing that you can actually, I can eat five of those at once. Sir, tell us your name, where you're from, and what's your question?
Greg from Maple Grove.
Oh, cool.
And I have to say this. I've been coming here since the Boone and Erickson days.
Oh.
I never thought I'd get up here.
Good to be on the porch.
This is a lifelong ambition of mine, so I had to say that. Question for Pete. The Gopher offensive line, 2 yards per carry, a lot of pressure on the quarterback. That had been a strength in years past. Did they look as bad to you as they did to me the other night?
Oh, that's a great question.
Thank you.
Put me in a bind because when I answer that truthfully, I don't think PJ will be happy with me. But yes is the answer.
Yeah.
They did not look very they weren't strong. As big as they are, they need to be able to blow up some big holes, right? I think. Nebraska also didn't have everybody starting that would be starters usually just because there was a couple guys hurt, one of them a linebacker, just like us. But, yeah, I think that's concerning. The fact that they had 180 yards rushing, I think the biggest mistakes that Nebraska made during the game was when they chose to throw the ball. I mean, the three interceptions – great plays by Tyler Newman, Newman. Whatever.
Newman, Zubin, the guy who had all the interceptions.
But he did a great job of forcing his interceptions to some degree, but I don't know why they were trying to force the ball throwing it. Because they had so much success running, why not keep running? And that was my one criticism of Rule as far as like the play calling that they had. But that offensive line for the Gophers needs to make those holes a lot bigger than they did, because 2 yards a carry, like you said, I know we threw it 44 times, but we ran a lot. And to only average 2 yards a carry, that's a problem.
And you can't become one-dimensional, right? In football, that's a killer. I also think we've been spoiled for the last 5 years, right? I mean, Mo Ibrahim, Trey Potts, et cetera. And you're talking about he statistically, I think, is the best running back in Gopher history, in Mo Ibrahim. So there was going to be a drop-off,
right?
I think, no matter what. Would Mo Ibrahim have done more than 2 yards per carry with that line? Probably, maybe.
Maybe.
But
you're missing the center?
Yeah, John Michael Smith, that's a huge –
starting
huge
for the Giants.
Yeah. And so I agree. That is the weakest part of the game, as I saw, the offensive line. Because there was a couple times, too, where – they just got blown up coming off the rush. And luckily, Ethan could do quite a bit with his legs and get himself out of the way there, which is good, but that's going to have to be better. I appreciate it. Thank you for the question.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that we got to have you up here on the porch. We have another hour and a half. We're here till 12:30
today.
Wait
a minute. What?
Oh, yeah. We got to wait to have our Mancini's meatballs. That's coming up a little bit later. We'll take a quick break. Come back. You're listening to The Huddle live from the Minnesota State Fair.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Sunday morning to you. It is 10:08. We're live at the Minnesota State Fair. Dave Schwartz, Pete Najeri, Charlie Weiss, Josh Wheeler's in here too. A cast of thousands. Good morning to you all. Good morning. Hey, thank
love
you.
Love seeing
much.
Everybody. This is a great little crowd here. I love it.
It is time for the huddle. It is this is going to be the hottest day of the fair.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be 100. I think they heard 115. Maybe. Pete just realized, for those of you in the house, Pete just realized I strategically picked this chair because I have the open window. It's air conditioned in here. And I'm nice and cozy. I'm just roasted in here sweating.
It's awesome, though. This fair has been fantastic. Yeah. This is my sixth trip out here already.
Already?
And absolutely love it every single year. Usually I'd get about 8 or 10. So I'm really behind. I still have tomorrow. I still got tomorrow.
You're coming back tomorrow, too?
Maybe day 7.
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see.
So you did a number of concerts, including we talked about it last week, the Boys to Men concert.
Yeah.
How was it?
You know, we were talking about maybe going.
I would love, yeah.
Both of us, right?
Yes.
And my wife surprised me. I had no idea she bought tickets to that. And Boys to Men was fantastic. It was also Chaka Khan was part of it well.
What a good concert.
But let me tell you why it might have been my best concert. Now, I'm a country music guy, but I like everything. I'll do R&B. I'll do rock. Whatever it is, I'll go. I love it. I love live music.
Yeah.
Live music is always good music. But I'll tell you, these guys were amazing what they were able to do. So I've never seen a band that's relatively famous, and they are. 32 years they've been together. And so they've
that makes me feel old. I remember when they came out.
So they put together a lot of music in these 32 years, right? Well, they took about a half hour in the middle of their show where they started doing covers of everybody that you could possibly imagine. I think the best one for me was one of the guys got up there. He taught himself how to play guitar 10 years ago, and he played Eric Clapton. And it was absolutely stunning how much it sounded like him. The style on the guitar, how he sang it, and everything else. And they must have done, they did a couple Journey songs. They did a few other ones. It was absolutely magical.
That's cool.
And when you look at these guys, we were lucky that we were like row two.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, they are the most humble, greatest, nicest guys you could ever come across. There's only three of them. There used to be four long ago.
Oh.
There's been guys in and out of the band, but
Boys to
these
Men
three,
became the men became a grandpa and he was done.
Yeah, but it was great.
That's really awesome.
It was sold out and was phenomenal.
What's the best concert you've ever seen here at the Minnesota State Fair?
Toby Keith two or three years ago was unreal. Keith. I'm a huge Toby Keith fan. Yeah. He was absolutely amazing. He's got great music. And unfortunately, he's been battling with stomach cancer for the last year and a half. But Toby Keith was awesome. He had that crowd going. And if you're a flag-waving type person, that is the place
that's
to be.
That's your concert.
Because he is that guy.
I'll tell you, I was really jealous this weekend. Speaking of concerts, I did not go to see Pearl Jam.
I know.
Two shows, and I love Pearl Jam, and I'm kicking myself for not going. But I was there on Friday because I work over at the Xcel Energy Center. And there's two lines, right? One line is all the way down the one sidewalk across, and that's just for general admission.
Right.
And this is it. I get to work at 8:30 in the morning. There are people already there. There's another line forming that goes down the length of the Xcel Energy Center, around the block. That is just for T-shirts and merchandise, because Pearl Jam does special shirts for every stop.
That's pretty cool.
And it got me wondering, is there anything in the world that I would stand in line for that, and then, you know, it's not free at the end, you still have to pay money. But standing around, like, is there anything, to me, I only said one thing, and it would have to be free. It'd have to be, like, I'd have to have a free dinner at Manny's waiting for me. And I'm talking, like, I want the steak, I want the cheddar hash browns, a lobster tail. I would wait a really long time for that. Shocker. I would wait for food. I don't know that there's anything else I would wait for. And so I'm wondering, like, what would you wait for? Is there anything that you would wait in line for that long to go to?
Is that going
to
come on the text and talk?
That's
line?
The question of the day. Do you
I like
me
it.
To it?
I like it. I will say this. I am a football freak.
Yeah.
And I grew up a football freak when I was a young boy growing up in San Francisco, then moved to Minnesota. We became monstrous Viking fans. So I can already say that I've done that because
yes.
we waited in line at Pasadena in the Rose Bowl when the Vikings played the Raiders.
Okay.
And unfortunately, that was another one of the number of losses in a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
But it was worth every second. You're in the Rose Bowl, first mm-hmm. of all, which is this, you know, iconic stadium, let's
yeah.
be honest.
Yeah.
It might be old, it might be a lot of things, but it is unbelievably beautiful on a perfect day. And we just couldn't beat the Raiders. But, you know, that Raiders team was unbelievable.
Yeah.
When you think about how many guys on that team are in the Hall of Fame, how many guys on the Vikings team mm-hmm. are in the Hall of Fame. So that was worthwhile wait.
It was worth
that was
it.
That was worthwhile. We already had our tickets, but we were just waiting in line to get in.
So, and then they lost on right, you.
Yeah, they lost on us.
Anything you would wait in line for to go see? If you want to chat with us today, if you're in-house here, just raise your hand. We'll come get you. If you are at home listening and you want to hit us up on the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line, it's 651-461-9226. What would you wait in line to see? I'd probably say if it was a sports event, I would probably, knowing what we know, obviously, but I'd go back and wait in line for the 1980 U.S. Men's Olympic hockey.
Oh, yeah.
The game against
yep,
Russia.
Yep.
Because
yep.
I was at the first rematch since then for a medal, for a playoff, you know, round mm-hmm. in Sochi in 2014. And there was a long line, and it was an unbelievably awesome game. That was the one they went to, like, multiple shootouts back and forth.
How great.
I would have waited in line for that. It was
yep.
great.
Yeah, for sure.
So tell us what you'll wait in line for. Love to hear it. I'll tell you what I also would have waited in line for, that Gopher game. I know we're going to run out of time in the first segment, so we'll talk a little bit about it in the next segment, Pete, but just initially in line for that Gopher game. I know we're going to run out of time in the first segment, so we'll talk a little bit about it in the next segment, Pete, but just initially, what were your thoughts of the team, how they looked, and a really a nice win, even though it's a close one over Nebraska?
Yeah, I think in general we were the team played generally well, but there was a lot of parts where you have to be a little bit more critical on yeah. what we looked like. We weren't able to run the football. That's kind of shocking, quite honestly. We have this – oh, my goodness.
Got a Pronto Pup.
Well, my wife just yeah. gave me a foot-long Pronto Pup, so, yep.
That's, she's just trying to
get starting
me,
now.
She's trying to give me more talking time. I appreciate it. Thank you. He'll be munching. He'll be eating that for another this at least is, another segment.
No, it'll be gone fast, man. But overall, I would say we don't know what Nebraska really is.
Yeah.
So we can't really have a great assessment of the game. It was obviously a close game, and it took everything we had to get that win.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot of things we could pick at when we talk about this one a little bit more.
We'll break it down. I liked it. I thought it was – I'll say this. Entertainment value is a phenomenal game.
The sellout, gold out was
yeah.
awesome.
I watched yep. the entire thing start to finish with the family, and it was great. I think the star of the show was the defense.
Yep.
Not a shock. You've been
yep.
talking about how good the defense
Tyler
has been
Newman.
The whole yep. time. He was great. Key interceptions, great plays.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll, you know, we'll talk about Ethan Calais-McManus because I thought he was really good. And I know not everybody agreed with me, but that's okay. I loved him. I thought I loved the way he played. So
is he the second coming of Pat Mahomes?
Oh, no? Did you I got so much heat on Thursday night because I had said Ethan Calais-McManus, and I'll stand with this, Ethan Calais-McManus has a little Patrick Mahomes to his game. Now, is he Patrick Mahomes? No. Do you want to throw something at me for saying that? Probably. But his ability to get out of the pocket,
yep.
his ability to extend plays with his presence, he's got a quick release.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little sidearm.
Yep, like Pat.
Yeah, but more than anything, he just physically looks the part.
He oozes confidence.
He does ooze confidence.
Yep.
And I thought We're going to run out of time in the first block here, but I did think that that's something immediately from the jump that I noticed.
Yep.
This kid was not afraid to be there.
Right.
He was ready for it, as we thought he would. He had all the swagger that we thought he was going to have, and he made good on it. So we'll talk more about the Gophers coming up next. This is The Huddle, live from the Minnesota State Fair. Yes, thank you. That's where you applaud. We appreciate you. There's one applause. Shameless. Yes, please. Good applause. We'll be right back. Ooh, this is groovy. I like it.
I kind of do.
It's not
too.
Charlie? No, I like it anyway. Whoever
what does
did
it sound like? It sounds like Santana or something, maybe. I don't know.
Huh? It's maybe. Not Santana.
I know it's not.
I don't know.
My wife would know.
I like it, though. Welcome back to The Huddle. We're at the Minnesota State Fair. Great group with us today. Thank you all for being out here. We're going to go right to the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line because we got some calls, so let's take them. Ed, you're up first on the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line. Good morning.
Good morning. Just thought I'd respond to your dealy there.
Yes,
we stood in line
dealy.
We stood in line for 24 hours, four of us, to get free tickets to the Dean Martin Roast in Las Vegas.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Worth it.
Who was at the roast?
Oh, Buddy Hackett, you yeah. name them, every funny guy.
I would do that.
It's one of my favorite shows ever.
That's a good call.
Oh, that's going back.
That's
Those
a good
were
call.
So great. And Dean Martin was so fun
yeah.
to watch.
Some of the best comedians.
Yep.
Boy. All right. Thanks, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.
We're going to keep it going. Austin's on the line. Hey, Austin.
This is actually Hello, Donna Austin. In St. Peter.
Oh. This is Donna. All right. I'm sorry. I called you Austin. Donna,
oh,
go ahead.
Donna from St. Peter.
Donna from St. Peter.
Oh, I know Donna.
Hi, Donna.
I'm calling to say that I would definitely bid on Be the Match next year for the experience I had Thursday night hosted by Pete and Lisa.
Oh, tell us about it.
Oh, that was nice of you.
What made it so great?
Well, let me put it this way. I don't put myself out on my Facebook page a lot, my personal picture. And I've been through a lot in the last couple of years, and my best friend that was with me is battling stage 4 breast cancer. And the comments on my Facebook page is, Donna, you're smiling. I just felt so blessed. I was probably annoying as hell because I was laughing and talking and crying because it was just amazing. Lisa and Peter couldn't have been any more gracious. It was just, it was a gift. And it was a fabulous game. And I would bid on a package again next year. So
awesome.
Thank you, Pete. Donna, thank you, Lisa.
Good job, Pete and Lisa. I am not surprised to hear that.
Her generosity was awesome, first of all.
That's
I mean,
great.
She donated a lot of money, and that was awesome. But outside of that, we had so much fun with these guys. Yeah. They had it all planned out. We had a University of Minnesota tailgate, all sorts of food, all sorts of drinks, all the wonderful things. These four were as nice of people as you could ever come across. And the only thing, I was pushing them, and I felt bad that I was pushing them, but I kept saying, hey, guys, we got to get over to the field. I said, until you stand on a football field, and you've done it a million times, but when you stand on a football field in college or pro football, and you get to stand right next to the athletes themselves, right, and the coaches and everything, but it's the athletes, and you see them up close, and you realize when they take the helmet off, they look 14. But when they got their helmet on, they are the biggest, most intimidating people that you could ever imagine. And you're shocked by the size and the strength and what shape these guys are in. And we finally got over there. We got on the field, and it was phenomenal. Yeah. We were on the Nebraska side. My wife and I walked in with the quarterback's family from Nebraska, actually. And it was so much fun talking to them. So we were communicating with them, and then you know, Donna and the whole crew, we had so much fun on the field.
Awesome.
The cheerleaders were right next to us, and the football team was doing everything that they do before the pregame, and the coaches, and everybody was walking right past us. So they got a chance to see everybody, and it was great.
That's
it was
awesome.
Great.
Yep, and you time. Know what? I'll give you guys the credit. That's awesome that you did that, because not everybody, when you get into those experiences, is really engaged in making it such a great experience. So good for you guys for doing that. And thanks to Donna for sharing your thoughts with us on the City's Unplugged.
And I hope Donna likes her shoes. She and my wife switched shoes for the game during the game. My wife had a pair of Gopher shoes. They're striped maroon and gold. Yeah. And so she gave them to Donna because Donna loved them so much, and they flipped out, and she got her flip-flops. So
that's funny.
Donna's got a memory for
that. Did you get your shoes back, or did you give them to her? You gave them to her.
Oh, yeah.
You literally gave her the shoes off your feet.
Yes.
That's the kind of people you are. I love it. And you got hers. That's awesome. Well, let's talk about the game a little bit,
yeah,
Pete. I'm already getting people yelling at me at the cities when I'm plumbing talk and text line. Schwartz, what Gophers game did you watch? Exciting? Bro, the score was 0-0 in the first and 3-0 and a half. Gophers didn't score until the third quarter. Stop being such a fanboy. So I'm accused of being both a fanboy at times and also being too harsh and critical.
Right.
So here's... I say it was an exciting game because I was very, very keenly into watching what Ethan Callie McManus did. And early on, they have 4th and 2, and I think it was the first quarter, they were just outside the end zone. I mean, it was inside the 10, had to be. And I'm yelling at the television because they're gonna kick the field goal. Got to take the points. And I hate that. Go for it. Let this kid be have that moment. He's already got the confidence. He needs 2 yards.
Yep.
Frankly, you could drop him back, and then he could go forward and get it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you go for the points, that's fine. I thought it was an exciting game because, one, the defense was incredible. The defense was great. Time and again, they came up, and they made huge plays. I thought Callie McManus played a really good game. First of all, let's not forget here, they basically redid the entire offensive strategy from last year to now.
Well, and to your point, Ethan threw the ball 44 times.
44 times.
That is not a P.J. Fleck style offense.
Tanner Morgan might not have done that add up 2 or 3 games together.
Exactly.
So they changed the offense to fit it with his skill set.
Yep.
Do they need more of a running game? Absolutely. That's got to be better because they're going to key on him eventually. I get it. But he looked poised, and I know the stat line. The stat line, he only did this, only did that. He looked poised. There was a couple of throws where he looked like he was gone, going to be sacked, rolls out, throws a strike. And he didn't look like the stage was too big for him, and that's what I come away with. He looked like he belonged where he was, and I thought he played really well. It's going to take time for everybody to get together. But those throws to Daniel Jackson at the end of the game, the first one obviously out of bounds, but the second one Daniel Jackson made a great play.
Yep.
Unbelievable. But Ethan put that ball in the window where he had to put it.
Yep.
There was no room for error, and he put it there.
Yeah,
I do not share the thought out there that Ethan was not special. I thought he was very special, and I thought it was a great game.
I think the criticisms that I would have of the Gophers, and I think I can do it. Hey, good to see you.
Hi, Al Schock.
Al Schock, ladies
and gentlemen. Al Schock, the legend. Al Schock. Of course you can come up. Like I'd say no to Al Schock.
You get him a mic or something?
There's a mic right here, Al. Nobody says no to Al Schock if he wants the mic. Hi, Al.
Somebody said no to me a couple of years ago. So.
Who said no to you?
I'm not going to go over
it. Okay, good. We're talking about the mic, right? Good.
Right. So we were talking a little Gopher football, and Dave was talking about his excitement level. Let me tell you, the excitement level of that game inside the stadium was off the charts. Might have been as good as any Gopher game I've ever been to. And I say that because it was the sold-out gold out, right? Everything was gold. I put up a couple pictures on Twitter just to show people. It was the student section did an amazing job, but the whole stadium was gold.
Yeah.
There were pockets of red, but they were just pockets. And I will say, they were as loud as us, even though they might have had 6,000 people out of the 60,000. Mm-hmm. They were loud, and they did a great job. But I do like what the offense did. The one issue I did have with our team for the night, we gave up 180 yards rushing.
Yeah.
And we're a good defense. We're better than that. We should have been better than that. And I think you could credit that to, we were missing a linebacker or two. We had a few issues here and there with guys not knowing. It's the first game. That's going to happen. Guys are going to be in the wrong spot. But I think that that Nebraska team is better than people probably thought they were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to happen. Guys are going to be in the wrong spot. But I think that that Nebraska team is better than people probably thought they were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that our offense looks like it's clicking a little bit. Why not throw the ball a little bit more to Spanford?
Yeah.
He's potentially an All-American tight end. He's only 6'8". He's the kind of guy you'd want to throw the ball to.
Yeah.
So that would be another criticism. The catches by Daniel Jackson and the throws from Ethan were spectacular.
I thought the same thing.
Absolutely. He is a special player.
Yeah.
And we were missing, I think, Ottman Bell. I don't even know if I saw him play.
He didn't play. I don't think I saw him all night. Yeah. He certainly didn't get a pass.
And I can't say I saw the whole game because I oftentimes am back behind the field goal, you know, the goalpost area. And I talked to so many guys. The whole every team from every, you know, every era was there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking around and there's guys from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the early 2000s, just 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. The showing up of all those guys, I think, was great. And there was an electricity in the air. So you're right. Even though it was on TV, it was right. Phenomenal. It yeah. really was.
Al, what'd you think? I turned it off after the third quarter.
I had to get up
the next morning. I had to get up Friday morning at 3 o'clock.
It wasn't because you didn't like the game. It's because you had to get up for work.
And I know a couple other people that turned it off with 5 minutes to go.
Nope.
How do you do that?
I felt like something was going to happen.
I understand a 3 a.m. Wake up. I get that.
Yeah.
I knew something was going to happen. I don't know why. I had the feeling because that they keep taking these clean shots on Ethan Calicman's look in his face. He never looked panicked to me.
Nope.
But you're talking about the defense earlier.
Yep.
Four turnovers.
Yes.
And that one by Wally at the end that stripped the ball that started the game-winning drive.
Absolutely. That strip was awesome. And those interceptions, one of them was extraordinary, for sure. Mm. I mean, it was unbelievable. Yeah. The way he attacked the ball, more so than the receiver, to get the ball. You know, everybody always says, well, you know, it's up for grabs. It's really not. It's who's going to be aggressive and get the ball.
Yeah.
Tyler Newman did it.
Yeah.
He was spectacular, I thought.
It might be too early to say that it was a pivotal game, but had they not won the game, where does the season go with Eastern Michigan coming in and you don't know too much about them? Mm. And how many times has a MAC team beaten a Big Ten team? Right. I know that happened here, Miami of Ohio, or Ohio University beat Glenn Mason's team about 20 years ago. But that coming from behind to win is always a good thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
But in that situation with a season that – I've only been around 30 years, so...
It's only 30.
Only 30 years for Gopher football, so I've seen where they think there's a turnaround game.
Yep.
For example, when they beat Syracuse here and Tyrone Carter was still playing, McKinley Boston says, turnaround game!
Yep.
And it didn't turn around.
Right.
The year they beat Ohio State on the road, the first time they had done that since like 1948 or something... There's the turnaround game, and the Rose Bowl was right there. The next week, lose to Indiana.
Right.
Give up 45 points after limiting Ohio State, who was ranked third, to 13 points.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So this is the kind of season you look at the schedule that it's – and I'm sounding like P.J. Fleck here, but it's an opportunity. It really is.
It's an opportunity. We're 1-0 in the Nebraska week, and now they got to.
I'm not going that far.
All right, good. Row the boat, Sky Uma. We got to take a break. We're way past here. Take a quick break. It's the Huddle. Dave Schwartz, Pete Najarian, Al Schock, Charlie Weiss, Josh is back there. We got everybody. Great to have you alongside us as well. We'll take a quick break. Coming back from the Minnesota State Fair.
Let's hit this segment running and gunning. Time for a fast back and forth with Pete and Dave. We're calling Fast Break on the Huddle.
Charlie's here.
Yeah.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi. Am I on? I can't hear me.
I can hear you.
Great. You can hear me?
Okay,
you guys got the headphones. I don't have that.
You got that voice, Charlie. Man. You got that radio voice. My gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, right. No, fun to be here. First time. This is
the first time in 2 years that you and Pete have seen each other.
I've been working with Pete for 2 years. Never met him.
And I asked Pete, I said, is this exactly how you pictured him? And you said no.
I didn't. You know what? I had pictures, but you know, I had the wrong ones.
Was I big? Was I stronger?
You looked like the Rock in his mind, actually.
That's fine with me. Yeah, I'll go with that. All right, let's start it off here. College football, week one, almost done with week one, but we got some games today, actually. Rutgers Northwestern kicking off, I believe, in about 30 minutes for all the sickos out there that want to watch something.
Just got to watch.
Something that's barely football. That's kick off in about 30 minutes. A couple upsets, not a ton. Week one, as usual, you know, a lot of cupcake games. But Purdue lost to Fresno State. We had Wyoming with a huge win over Texas Tech last night, double overtime. And, of course, everybody now knows the Colorado-TCU upset. And we'll see if that's really an upset in the coming weeks. But as of now, we'll call it an upset. What does that do to the conference picture of those teams, the Purdues? Does this kind of show you that they're kind of out of it for this year? Colorado, they're in it, what was the other one? Texas Tech, I mean.
Right. It's a tough step to make to assess it all in one game, I think. But that being said, if you're Purdue, you cannot lose that game, and they did. So that I think, is harmful. Wyoming, and I've done games in Wyoming when I was doing ESPN football. I'll tell you what, that is a great atmosphere. It is extremely high altitude, and if you're not ready there, it's going to be an issue. And they're playing Texas Tech, who loves to throw the football. They've always got quarterbacks. But the coaching at Wyoming over the years, former North Dakota State coach, Nebraska coach, all that stuff, they have a program that you don't want to play. As a matter of fact, if I were the athletic director at Minnesota, I'd go, hey, look, we're not putting Wyoming on the schedule because it's going to look bad later on, I think. But I'll tell you, I think that we are all jumping the gun on this Colorado team. I really do. And the reason I say that is TCU lost the entire team. Quarterback, running back, receiver, best receiver they had, another receiver, other guys on defense, guys on the offensive line, all either to the NFL or graduated. So I don't know why they were rated where they were or why they were a 21-point favorite. It didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Because when you look at 83 new players going to Colorado, a lot of them with experience, 83 new players go to Colorado, I thought they'd be competitive. We don't even know now, even with, Deion's son. We have no idea if this quarterback is great or did he just have a great game against a very bad team right now, TCU.
Well, I'm just glad they won the national championship.
Yeah, it was a biggie.
I mean, that's what happened, right? Colorado's a national champion?
I'm just happy to hear you say that, Pete, as a bona fide Colorado and Deion hater. I'm happy that somebody...
Oh, I will launch into this later. I have thoughts and feelings.
I mean... Sanders, Shadur, the son, phenomenal, obviously. But the guy, I mean, the generational talent there.
Got to hold the mic close.
A little closer.
There you go.
I'm new to this. I'm new to the holding the mic thing. The real guy there, Travis Hunter, playing both sides of the ball, 100 yards receiving, interception, pass deflections. He's going to be a top five pick before too long. Let's move on here, though, into baseball. We'll get to the Byron Buxton news a little later on, I think. But for now, let's talk about how they're 5-1 against the Texas Rangers this year, who are struggling, mind you.
But they can't beat Cleveland. Sorry,
right.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
they beat them once, but no.
Series.
The question is, Twins are beating Texas a lot. But Cleveland's also beating the Rays. They're really not losing too many games. It's five games up. We are into September now. Is the collapse coming? Is it coming, or are they going to pull it off? Or, I mean, do they pull it off and it gets close?
So are you asking me a question, or are you trying to convince yourself the collapse is not coming?
All of the above.
You're all yours. Are Twins fans nervous? Guy in the front row says, yep.
Twins hat on.
He's got a Twins hat on. It's not coming. I don't think it is. They're going to have a couple games. They always do. They're going to hit, they're going to get out of the slump. They're going to hit three or four home runs, and they'll be back on it. And then they will go to the first round of the postseason and fill in the blank.
They got pitching this year.
They have pitching.
They do.
They have pitching this year.
But you cannot not sweep Cleveland. Cleveland is so bad. It's like they're trying to lose.
They're not Cleveland?
Cleveland.
They're not that bad. They're bad, but they're not. I mean, they're not Kansas City. They're not Oakland.
No, but they're top to bottom, the Twins are such a better team than the Guardians.
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland always has those young guys. Yeah, well, and on paper, too, right? They always have those young, your Bo Naylors and your rookie starting pitchers they always seem to have that have a 2.9 ERA throughout the entire season that you've never heard of. They're not good.
No.
But, I mean,
this should not – I'll put it this way. In the first week of September, this should have been wrapped up by now. I'm not panicking. But this should have been wrapped up. Like I would tell my kids when I ask them to clean the room and they don't. I'm not panicking, but you should have done this by now.
What's wrapped up, though? I mean, what is that?
Oh, and they get the playoffs when they're in. magic numbers confirmed. So
and you think they should have had – I think there's only one team that's confirmed in at this
doesn't
point.
Doesn't matter. The Central's so bad this year.
I think the reality of that whole Twins conversation is this. And every week we've said this since, I think, going back to May. They're a 500 team. That's who they are. There is no streak. They're not on a bad streak ever, and they're not on a great streak ever.
That's a good
point. They're, again, last 10 games, you know what? They're 6-4. I mean, that's who the Twins are. They're either 5-5 or 6-4. We're just barely above 500. That's the team we have. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because we all want more. You know, we want more because we think that there's more there. I don't think there is more there. I think that's who the Twins are. They're a 500 ball club. That means when you get into that first playoff game, it's a good chance that you're probably not going very far.
Yeah, 500 doesn't win it for you.
But does it matter if they get a win?
You want to win. You want to win. I'm with you on that.
All right. Good shirt. I like that.
We'll move on here into back to you, Pete. It's NFL season. Thursday is the first game. Lions Chiefs kick off, obviously, a week from today, right after our show. It's going to be Vikings versus the Bucks in game one. Is it Baker Mayfield for the Bucks this year?
Yeah.
A week from today, right after our show, it's going to be Vikings versus the Bucks in game one. Is it Baker Mayfield for the Bucks this year?
Yeah. He's the starter, yep.
It's time.
Hit with this team.
It's AFC champ, NFC champ, Super Bowl champ. Who you got?
Oh, boy.
Wow.
It's time.
He just hit it right there, didn't he?
I got it.
All right. I'm going to say, for me, the AFC champ, I think it'll finally be Buffalo. They've done a lot of things on defense, a lot of things on offense. They've added a lot of players. I think that they, you know, and I just think the world of the quarterback, who, by the way, played at Wyoming for, you know, that was one of the games I did was him as the quarterback. It was really, really a lot of fun to watch him play. And Josh Allen is an amazingly big human being as well. He's not just a quarterback like normal. Which is why he runs the ball so well. Another reason why I think that will be the AFC. NFC, it's tough.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Detroit. You know, everybody's all over Detroit. I like Detroit, but I don't think it's the Detroit Lions. I think when you really get through it, you've got to start looking at maybe, I don't know, is Philadelphia going to be that team again? They sure look good.
Yeah.
And if they get to the Super Bowl and they're playing maybe Buffalo, I think Philadelphia's got them.
Well, I mean, we've seen so much in the preseason. It's really easy to judge what all these teams have. I agree with you on Buffalo. I think Kansas City could challenge, but I think Buffalo. They're young. They got good defense. They can run. They can pass. In the NFC,
San Francisco.
That's what I was gonna say. San Francisco. I don't think.
Even
I don't
know. Bosa.
No Bosa. You got Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I mean, if you got Brock Purdy, you're set.
He's the best thing since Joe Montana. He's better than Joe Montana. I'm kidding.
I'll go with him. You going to do who's going to win it?
My Super Bowl champion? You know what? The Bills are finally going to get it.
They're
going to get it. No wide left field goals this time.
Easy to cheer for the Bills.
I know.
They got all the storylines other than, you know, if you're a real Stephon Diggs hater, you're real real deep in there.
There might be a few of them here.
I'm sure there are. But I like them. Whatever. On to USA basketball. I know you guys have been watching the FIBA World Cup very religiously. USA lost today to Lithuania.
What?
Yeah, they did.
It's over.
It's not over. They're still making the quarterfinals in the round robin. 110-104. And your guy, Anthony Edwards, still the guy. 35 points. Nobody else on the team more than 14. Absolutely dominated. Tried to claw the team back. Was not able to. What does this successful season, not for the Timberwolves, but for Anthony Edwards, look like this year?
Oh, boy. I think he'll take another step. I don't see a lot of weakness in his game either. I mean, it's not like I say, hey, he's got to play defense better because he hustles. It's not like he doesn't drive the lane and get the drops, you know, get it to fall. He could probably help and bring kind of elevate his team a little more, I guess. That's kind of what it, to me, that's what it looks like. It's elevating his team into consistency. And that was the issue last year, is that the Timberwolves weren't consistent. And making that whole trio of him and Rudy and likely Kat all together again make it work. Because it didn't last year. I think that's probably success.
I mean, is there any individual accolades you would say, or is it?
He could win the MVP. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got some really tough competition, but
you know, you go right to MVP, you know, third team All NBA, All Star.
I want the whole thing.
25.
I think he's the real deal.
You have options, and you went right to MVP.
Yeah, listen, if you're not, as Ricky Bobby said, if you're not first, you're last. Win the MVP.
Such a great line.
Win the MVP.
I will say, last year we talked about this a lot, though. We said, you know what? Appreciate the fact that we have Anthony Edwards on the Timberwolves. Because let's be honest, I think that guy's as good as anybody in the NBA. Is he MVP? Probably not, because those other players that end up getting that, they deserve it as well, and they put up some unbelievable numbers, but they have people around them. He doesn't. Cat is not helpful to Anthony Edwards. He just isn't, unfortunately. I mean, that experiment has not worked. It's not worked for a long time now. So, you know, at what point do we kind of shift things around a little bit? I don't know. But we've got Rudy. And is there a possibility that we make any kind of a run in the playoffs? I think we could make a run. I don't think we get to the finals. But Anthony Edwards, as Minnesotans, we should appreciate. He's one of the best players in the entire world, not just the NBA, the world. And he's showing everybody it now. Yeah.
Could you imagine what it would be like if he played for the Knicks or the Lakers?
Oh, if he was on the Lakers.
I mean, you've seen the discourse online this week of it's a matter of time before he leaves.
Well, I mean, if you're him, and I'm not advocating him to leave because there's a lot here and you could – I mean, there's something exciting, I think, for a star player to say, I turned around and helped the franchise finally win that has been mired in a lack of success for decades. But if I'm him and I'm looking at L.A. and I'm looking at New York and I'm looking at those dollar signs, you don't even have to win there. You just got to go play well.
And if he goes to the Lakers, it's an old Minnesota team anyway. I mean, the old Minneapolis Lakers, so what the heck?
Yeah, sure. That's what I got for you guys.
All right, thanks, Charlie.
It's awesome, Charlie.
Take a quick break. Come back. We've got some audience participation happening here at the Minnesota State Fair. You're listening to the... Hello. Hey, this one works. Welcome back. It's the huddle at the Minnesota State Fair. Great to have you. We're going to have some audience participation.
What's going
on? You fine young man, sir. He's got an autographed hat. Come on all the way up.
He's got a chain over there.
By the way, shout out to Gary at Sweet Martha's Cookies. Brought us another bucket of Sweet Martha's this morning.
It's going to kill me.
It's amazing that you can actually, I can eat five of those at once. Sir, tell us your name, where you're from, and what's your question?
Greg from Maple Grove.
Oh, cool.
And I have to say this. I've been coming here since the Boone and Erickson days.
Oh.
I never thought I'd get up here.
It's good to be on the porch.
This is a lifelong ambition of mine, so I had to say that.
Oh.
Question for Pete. The Gopher offensive line, 2 yards per carry, a lot of pressure on the quarterback. That had been a strength in years past. Did they look as bad to you as they did to me the other night?
Oh, that's a great question.
Thank you.
Put me in a bind because when I answer that truthfully, I don't think PJ will be happy with me. But yes is the answer.
Yeah.
They did not look very they weren't strong. As big as they are, they need to be able to blow up some big holes, right, I think. Nebraska also didn't have everybody starting that would be starters usually just because there was a couple guys hurt, one of them a linebacker, just like us. But, yeah, I think that's concerning. The fact that they had 180 yards rushing, I think the biggest mistakes that Nebraska made during the game was when they chose to throw the ball. I mean, the three interceptions, great plays by Tyler Newman,
the guy who had all the interceptions.
But he did a great job of forcing his interceptions to some degree, but I don't know why they were trying to force the ball throwing it. Because they had so much success running, why not keep running? And that was my one criticism of Rule as far as like the play calling that they had. But that offensive line for the Gophers needs to make those holes a lot bigger than they did, because 2 yards a carry, like you said, I know we threw it 44 times, but we ran a lot. And to only average 2 yards a carry, that's a problem.
And you can't become one-dimensional, right? In football, that's a killer. I also think we've been spoiled for the last 5 years, right? I mean, Mo Ibrahim, Trey Potts, et cetera. And you're talking about he statistically, I think, is the best running back in Gopher history, in Mo Ibrahim. So there was going to be a drop-off,
right?
I think, no matter what. Would Mo Ibrahim have done more than 2 yards per carry with that line? Probably, maybe.
Maybe.
But
you're
missing
the center?
Yeah, John Michael Smith, that's a huge
start. Starting for the Giants.
Yeah. And so I agree. That is the weakest part of the game, as I saw, the offensive line. Because there was a couple times, too, where they just got blown up coming off the rush. And luckily, Ethan could do quite a bit with his legs and get himself out of the way there, which is good, but that's going to have to be better. I appreciate it. Thank you for the question.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that we got to have you up here on the porch. We have another hour and a half. We're here till 12:30
today.
Wait
a minute. What?
Oh, yeah. We got to wait to have our Mancini's meatballs. That's coming up a little bit later. We'll take a quick break. Come back. You're listening to The Huddle live from the Minnesota State Fair.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.